Chapter 24. Salute. The Shinobi bar is well lit and moderately full. The corners, with their defensive positions, already filled. Kakashi doesn't waver, though, heading for one of the tables along the wall, with a clear view of all the exits. He's found that having your back to a corner is often an overestimated advantage. Personally, he'd rather have a clear path out. Kurama doesn't seem to have any objections to the seating arrangements either, dropping into an open chair with a sigh. Tired? Kakashi asks cheekily, even as he waves a waitress over. The redhead rolls his eyes at him. No, but I'm wondering how the hell you managed to convince the Hokage that my punishment should be helping Team 7 as assistant instructor. Well, you're not getting paid for it, Kakashi points out. I'd say that's the main part of your sentence. He beams in response to the sour look he's given, then turns his attention to the waitress as she approaches. A bottle of your best sake, please. And a bottle of plum wine, Kurama adds with a smile. The harried-looking woman nods, then turns, ducks a kunai, and heads for the bar without so much as a flinch. Kakashi really loves living in a shinobi village. With a sigh, he stretches his legs out under the table and leans back in his chair, allowing himself to relax. They're home from Wave, mission reports submitted and lectures received, Genin safely tucked away in Kurama's apartment, with takeout and the high of returning home safely from a dangerous mission. Kakashi's proud of the little monsters. Their teamwork during the disaster was mind-boggling, and they're so far removed from the snot-nosed brats he took on 3 months ago that they're hardly even the same species. They'll do well, he says, almost to himself. More than just surviving. I think they might even have a chance. In the exams? Kurama looks up from his study of his hands, and he's smiling, almost grinning. I think so. They managed to survive both Zabuza and Haku, so that's certainly a point in their favor. Kakashi remembers the sight of Sasuke, sprawled out so still on the half-finished bridge, the Kyuubi's murderous chakra rising and Sakura so pale and shaken, and says nothing. The three of them were brilliant, really, stepping up in a way no Genin should have been able to. But it was close, too close, and even now Kakashi can feel the faint tremor of fear down his spine. What if he'd lost them, been a little bit slower or a touch more careless? The waitress deposits their drinks as she passes, and Kakashi wastes no time filling a cup and knocking it back. Some things truly don't bear thinking about. When he raises his head, Kurama is watching him, blue eyes both sympathetic and concerned. There's a cup of plum wine in his hand, but he's not drinking, looks more contemplative than anything. They will be fine, he says firmly. I think this helped them. They've seen what can happen, what can go wrong. It's made them into a better team. They have resolve now. Enough not to let it happen again. I'm sure of that. And Kakashi thinks of Sasuke, so close to death. But then he thinks of Obito, actually dead, of the fear that he felt that day and the desperation that clawed at his chest like some great beast, and what would have happened had Obito managed to survive, of the kind of team he and Obito and Rin could have made, were Kakashi less of a bastard. Too late to consider it, but maybe they would have been like Sasuke, Naruto, and Sakura are now. It's a nice thought. Before he can respond, though, a shadow falls over their table, and a moment later, Asuma throws himself into an empty chair. He's already carrying a bottle of sake. Not the good stuff, either. And a cup, and there are lines of exhaustion carved into his face. Without a word to either of the other jonin, he measures out a cupful, knocks it back with a muttered oath, and pours himself another. That bad? Kakashi asks with amusement, and absolutely no sympathy. Didn't you get the Inoshika Cho trio? Try the laziest genius in Fire Country, the loudest harpy girl I've ever met, and a bottomless pit. Asuma pinches the bridge of his nose, looking long-suffering. And Ino is driving me insane. 2 weeks ago, all she could talk about was Sasuke-kun. Now she's turned into this training-obsessed monster who is practically browbeating all of us into practicing for 10 hours a day. Pretty soon, I think Shikamaru is going to drop into a coma out of sheer self-preservation. And Choza hunted me down yesterday to ask why his son was eating 3 times his normal amount and getting thinner. Hence why you're hiding in the one place Genin can't go. Kurama sips his wine, though it does little to hide his grin. Asuma raises his cup in grim toast. Hear, hear. He drowns it, then offers a nod. I don't think we've been introduced. I'm Sarutobi Asuma, of Team 10. Uzumaki Kurama, currently assistant Jonin instructor of Team 7. The redhead returns, dipping his head in greeting. The Red Maelstrom, right? Dad mentioned you. Asuma's eyes narrow faintly. I heard about all those bounties you brought in. You even got Sasori of the Red Sand. Impressive. Kurama snorts, and Kakashi knows him well enough by now to hear the bitterness in the sound. Sasori was a pathetic bastard, he says, and his eyes are dark as he pours himself more plum wine. He was so scared of death and change that he made himself into a puppet. There was nothing human left by the time I got there. I just finished what he'd already started. Kakashi wonders if he should butt in, change the subject, but ultimately decides against it. Jonin are nosy bastards, mostly, and Kurama likely knows this as well as Kakashi does. He'll change the subject if it gets too uncomfortable. Thankfully, Asuma seems to recognize that he's stepped on sensitive ground, because he settles back in his chair with a weary sigh and empties his cup again. Kurama shakes off his mood with a faint smile and turns his attention back to Kakashi. You're still going to go ahead with? Kakashi knows what he's asking without him needing to finish it, and nods. I don't think they'll ever be readier than they are now, even with another 6 months. Wave was a good push. We'll see how far they can make it carry them. Asuma looks between them, one brow faintly arched. The Chunin exams? He asks, and there's a faint undertone of surprise to his words. You're going to enter your team? Kakashi nods, swirling his cup and watching the clear liquid shimmer before he tosses it back. Yeah. As training? Kurama laughs softly, but the glitter in his ocean eyes is pure challenge. Oh no, Team 7 is ready, he answers. They're going to make it at least as far as the final round, and I'll honestly be surprised if they don't win it, either one of them alone or all three together. What he said, Kakashi chimes in, stealing a cupful of Kurama's plum wine. The redhead makes a face at him, helping himself to some of Kakashi's sake in retribution. They toast each other, then down the contents. Asuma looks between them in disbelief. Graduation was 3 months ago, he points out. Do you honestly expect them to... You haven't seen them in action, a mellow voice cuts in, and Kurenai pauses by the last empty chair, glancing at Kakashi in question. He happily waves her into the seat, nudging Kurama's wine towards her with a beaming smile. Kurama rolls his eyes at him, but smiles in welcome. Kurenai smiles back, settling down and helping herself, then adding, Really, Asuma, I only saw the two boys, but if the kunoichi is anywhere near their level, I think they'll do just fine. What about you? Asuma challenges her. Are you going to nominate your team? Kurenai looks down at her drink, contemplative. I'd like to think they'd at least do fairly well, but... Her smile is wry. I don't know. Mine aren't that bad at... She trails off, and then sighs. No, never mind. I've got the braggart dog boy, the reserved bug boy, and the Hyuga who's scared of her own shadow. Don't get me wrong, in a few years they're going to be amazing, but... Right now, they all need to think about why they're becoming shinobi, beyond the fact that it's what their families expect of them. I think all Genin need that, Asuma mutters, rolling his eyes. Kakashi exchanges an amused glance with Kurama, who looks like he's fighting back a laugh. "Ah," the copy nin says lazily, though he also wants to grin. "I think my team has got yours beat there as well. They're already aiming to become the next Sannin." Asuma chokes on his sake, and Kurenai almost drops her cup. "What?" the Kunoichi demands. "But didn't you get... the Avenger, the fangirl, and the class is dead last?" Kakashi knows his smile is entirely smug, but doesn't try to fight it. "I did, but I also got a taijutsu genius with a head for tactics, an exceedingly clever girl with perfect chakra control and plenty of physical strength, and a kid with the chakra reserves of any 10 jonin and a knack for seals." "It runs in the family," Kurama adds with a sly smile. And in this, Naruto is definitely an Uzumaki. "Right," Kurenai says thoughtfully, eyeing him with interest. "You're from Uzushiogakure, right? I'd heard the village is famous for its sealing arts." "Was," Kurama corrects, and that faint edge of bitterness is back, though Kakashi doesn't think any of the others hear it. There's not exactly a lot of Uzushio left at the moment. "Dad says it was beautiful once," Asuma offers, apparently trying to move them off another sensitive subject. But the bitterness only grows, touched with a wistful sort of sorrow, and Kurama hums in agreement, taking a gulp of wine and then murmurs, "Once, but now whenever I think of it, all I can see is rubble and ruins, from one side of the island to the other, and the sunset turning the air to blood." He takes a long, slow breath, then lets it out in a shuddering sigh and opens his eyes, offering the other two jonin a weary smile. "I haven't been back in a long time, though. Maybe by now nature has reclaimed everything. It would be... better, then." Kakashi nudges his ankle underneath the table, a small gesture of comfort that's all he can offer, and Kurama shoots him a swift, grateful glance. "Enough with the gloom," the redhead says. His voice has lightened, his eyes growing brighter. It's satisfying that even Kakashi's small gestures can ease his mood. "Are you going to enter your teams?" Asuma strokes his goatee thoughtfully. It's a good opportunity for them to see what the exams are like, even if they don't advance that far. And it's not often Konoha is host to them, after all. It's one of those might-as-well situations. If they fail, we'll have to travel for the next ones, and rather than toss them into an unknown situation in a foreign country, it's better to give them experience now, at home. "And maybe, if they make it a few rounds in, it will give them some confidence," Kurenai offers optimistically, then adds with a mutter, "Heaven knows my three need all the help they can get." Kurama chuckles, raising his cup. "To the rookie nine, then?" he suggests. "To succeeding," Kakashi says, raising his own. Kurenai smiles and does the same. "To realizing their goals." Asuma looks between the three of them for a moment, then gives up with a huff of amusement and a slight grin. "To Konoha's future jonin," he says, and the four of them clink their cups and down their drinks. In the warm, peaceful half-light, the burn of alcohol feels like the thrill of victory. That makes 9 futon, 7 katon, 7 suiton, 6 doton, and 4 raiton, Naruto says, eyeing the piles of papers in front of him. "And I've made up 50 basic explosive tags, 45 smoke bomb tags, 30 flashbang tags, 12 sealing scrolls with the capacity to hold up to 100 pounds each, 8 barrier seals, and a perception seal for each of us." "Perception seal?" Sasuke asks, looking up from where he's sharpening all of their kunai and shuriken. Naruto waves a hand, trying to remember what he's most likely forgotten to include that they'll need. "Kuramani showed me how to do it. It's like a minor genjutsu that lasts until you pull your chakra out of the seal. Most people don't even notice it, so they can't break it. Because it's just subtle enough that your attention kind of passes the user over." "Ooh!" Sakura looks bright-eyed and enthusiastic, where she's assembling medical kits for each of them, and a larger one for herself. "And you made one for each of us?" "Yep, just place the paper over your skin, add some chakra, and it's like you're invisible," Naruto grins at her. I managed to sneak into Kakashi-sensei's apartment with one yesterday, and he didn't even notice me! The kunoichi holds out her hand imperiously, a spark of laughter in her face. With a flourishing bow, Naruto hands it over, then passes Sasuke his. They share a grin. We've got one full set of kunai and shuriken each, Sasuke says, continuing their inventory. 6 Fuma shuriken, 2 bundles of Senbon, 1 poisoned and 1 not, and an extra bottle of the special paralytic that Tokubetsu Jonin gave us. My sword, his fingers twitch towards the brand new blade Kurama had presented him with yesterday, sized for him and with a seal for absorbing chakra attacks on the hilt. And Sakura's gloves. I think that's everything. Sakura casts a disturbingly besotted look at the fingerless gloves Kakashi had given her, reinforced with steel and perfect for punching people's lights out. Naruto is a little terrified of her now, to be honest. She's always been strong, as he knows firsthand, but ever since their return from Wave, she's been focusing pretty much all her attention on medical techniques and strength training, and it's certainly paid off. I've got our supplies, she offers, patting a pair of sealing scrolls. Enough food and water for 4 days, if we stretch it, and medical supplies to deal with everything short of a brain surgery. Naruto considers the arsenal laid out between them and scratches his head. I think that's enough. I mean, the first part of the exam is written, and since Kakashi-sensei and Kurama-ni haven't told us when the second part is, we kind of have to assume it will be right afterwards. But do you think this is overkill? No, Sasuke answers immediately. Dobe, if we fail because we weren't prepared for everything and have to go through this again in 6 months, I'll kill someone. Possibly myself, but neither of you are out of the running. Sakura snorts. Oh, like you could, she scoffs. We'd stop you, of course. Her smile is so blindingly innocent that it manages to come right around on the other side of devious. Sasuke eyes her for a moment, then gives in and smiles faintly, dropping a kunai into the sharpened pile and picking up another from the dull stack. Hmm, he grunts. But Naruto's learned to speak Uchiha by now, and that particular inflection meant something along the lines of, I adore my strong and wonderful teammates and would never dream of harming them, so I suppose you're safe. Or, well, that's how Naruto's choosing to paraphrase it. Really, there's some room for interpretation. A comfortable silence lingers as they continue packing meticulously. Then, out of the blue, Sakura says, Final round is one-on-one matches, chosen at random. There's a chance we'll be facing each other when we get there. There's no question that they will, of course. Sasuke pauses in his sharpening, eyes thoughtful, then glances between Naruto and Sakura. I won't hold back, he says, and one could read that tone as a clear warning, but Naruto can hear the inflection in it, and promise that he won't let anything get in the way of their dream. Naruto straightens a stack of flashbang seals, just to give his hand something to do, and his eyes linger because he doesn't like the thought of having to fight Sakura or Sasuke in earnest. Sparring, sure. They're definitely still at least slightly rivals, but... So we give them a good show, he offers suddenly, as the idea comes to him. We treat it like a spar. Show off jutsus and tactics and stuff. Try to end it in a draw. That way they'll have to advance both of us. It's not just the winners that get promoted, Sakura reminds them, stubborn and steadfast. The entire point of the exams is showing the watching Kages that you have the knowledge, maturity, and skills to make Chunin in the first place. She hesitates, then smiles a little sheepishly. I still like the idea of a draw, though. Fighting seriously? It just seems like we should save that for our enemies. We don't need to beat each other unconscious, because we already know we are all strong. We're just stronger as a team, and that's what matters. Sasuke nods seriously, then sets down his whetstone and shuriken and reaches his hand out into the center of their circle. To a draw, then? Naruto adds his own hand without hesitation, and grins when Sasuke presses their fingertips together lightly. To a draw, he agrees. Sakura lays her hand over theirs and meets their eyes, and it's as if they're swearing their oath to become the next Sannin all over again, with that resolve in her green gaze. To a draw, she echoes, and then breaks the serious mood to offer up a sly grin that says she's been spending too much time with Kurama's fox summons. But if it's Ino or Kiba, I reserve the right to pound them into the ground without mercy. There's a pause as both boys exchange looks, and then Naruto pouts. But I wanted Kiba! He still insults you every time he sees you, even though I've told him to stop, Sasuke mutters, looking aggravated. I call dibs. Hopefully we'll all get foreign ninja, Sakura offers. Then we won't have to show any mercy at all. They contemplate that, and Naruto shrugs, crossing his arms behind his head. I don't care. As long as it's not, I don't know, Hinata or Shikamaru. Hinata seems too shy to hit, and Shikamaru would just be... troublesome? Sasuke offers, straight-faced. Naruto laughs. Way too troublesome. Believe it! They all exchange glances thoughtfully, and then Naruto huffs and drops to the ground, stretching out on his back. Ah, I'm so excited! We're gonna be chunin! Sakura slides over and sprawls out beside him, crossing her arms on top of his chest and resting her chin on them. Right? I feel like we should be really nervous and everything, but after Zabuza and Haku, after all the training we've done so far, I just can't be. Because we're going to win, obviously, Sasuke points out, settling next to them and leaning back on his hands. But he's smiling, dark eyes bright with anticipation and certainty. There's no reason to be nervous. Yeah, Naruto cheers, beaming up at the ceiling. We're gonna beat all the records set for this exam. Believe it! Believe it! Sakura agrees with a cheeky grin. Believe it. Sasuke hesitates for half a moment, then drops down next to Sakura, his head comfortably cushioned on Naruto's stomach. They don't say anything else, but they don't have to. Kurama gets home well after midnight, the taste of plum wine lingering in his mouth, though he's still well away from buzzed, given his metabolism. Kakashi has been deposited safely at home to sleep off the after-effects of the night. He and Asuma had attempted, foolishly, and despite Kurama's many warnings, to drink the redhead under the table while Kudanai cheered all three of them on. Given that even Tsunade herself couldn't manage mildly tipsy, let alone under the table, Kurama isn't surprised they failed. And he's the faintest bit gleeful to see Kakashi tomorrow and rub his complete lack of hangover in the Kapinin's face. Revenge for the training trip, if asked. With a quiet chuckle, he toes off his sandals and pads barefoot into the living room, not bothering to turn on any lights. A good decision, given the puppy pile of Genin asleep on the floor. Kurama pauses in the doorway, smiling softly. Sasuke, Naruto, and Sakura are all tangled up together, in such a way that Kurama can barely distinguish whose limbs are whose. Scattered around them is an arsenal that would make most jonin weep with envy. Halfway packed, he hesitates, debating whether to finish it for them, and then decides not to. Clearly they're doing inventory, and he won't disturb that. The night is warm, so Kurama doesn't bother waking them up and dragging them to bed, just pulls the blanket off the couch and drapes it over them as best he can. Naruto mumbles and curls up into Sasuke's side a little more, even as Sakura groans and splays herself out on top of them. Smothering his laughter, Kurama retreats, slipping over to the window and hopping up on the sill to look out over the village. It's quiet, peaceful. A waxing moon floats overhead and the stars are bright, the breeze warm but not humid or overwhelmingly hot. In the darkness, faint flickering shadows are the only signs of shinobi passing on the rooftops, the streets almost entirely empty of civilians. Shinobi villages never really sleep. They just look like they do, given their inhabitants. But still, the night is calm. It won't be for long. There's just over a week to the exams, and Kurama is on edge, though he's doing his best to conceal it. After all, for all that he and his Sasuke tried, they were never able to reconstruct a timeline of Orochimaru's actions. He's not even using the base that Sasuke remembered. And though Kurama looked when he first arrived in this time, he couldn't find so much as a trace of the snake Sannin. As far as the replacement of the Kazekage goes, that too is a complete mystery. So Kurama is left with no choice but to wait and strike where he knows Orochimaru will be present, when he goes after Sasuke in the middle of the second exam. It's a risk, one that cuts far too close for Kurama's comfort, but he has little choice. His status as a bounty hunter should help as far as explanations of his actions go, since the Hokage already believes he has a web of informants, and presenting him with Orochimaru's head will hopefully smooth over any rough edges that remain. But, well, he worries. Naruto and Sasuke and Sakura are still children, for all that they've advanced. Orochimaru is the first real threat they'll face, Zabuza aside. The snake Sannin is a much bigger danger than a mercenary missing nin, after all. And should something go wrong? Tobi is still out there too, and that worries Kurama even more, because the man has absolutely awful timing, at least from his enemy's point of view. Kurama lays a hand over Obito's seal, freshly altered by a tattoo artist with experience in recreating seals. A small change, just a few lines here and there to make it simpler to copy and transfer, but Obito has explained his plan, and it's risky for both of them. It's too much like something they would have come up with back in the war, and Kurama hates that. Hates that they weren't able to leave the desperation behind them when they changed timelines. But it's part of being a shinobi, he supposes. A soft breath of breeze whirls through the open window, catching his hair and carrying the scent of green and growth along with it. Kurama raises his head and breathes it in, forcing his thoughts to the side for now. There will be time enough for that tomorrow, and in the coming week. 1 week, he thinks, and lifts a hand as though to touch the waxing moon. 1 week. Orochimaru's days are numbered. Orochimaru, and then Tobi, and what he came here for will finally be done.